where strategy gaming meets good vibes. No stress, just critical moves. Hello everybody, welcome back to Critical Moves. I'm Al, and today I'm joined by my best pal from the US of A, Joe, and we are going to be talking about the recent release of Civilization VII, which Joe has played, I have not, and Joe's going to maybe, possibly, try and convince me why I should join him. Are you good, Joe?
I'm great. Yeah, good week. Warmed up here finally. It was like negative 30 Celsius for 2 weeks, and now it's 40 degrees Celsius, so we've had quite a change.
14 or...
It's about 65 degrees Fahrenheit here. I don't know exactly what that is Celsius, but it's pretty high.
What's that in real temperature?
Maybe 35.
That's super hot. Yeah. That's like hotter than you.
Oh, maybe not then.
Oh. It was freezing. It was.
Oh, I was way off. It's like 19 degrees Celsius here.
All right. Well, that's still nice. That's positively balmy. That's like a British summer day. So much better than minus 20. That's just ridiculous.
That was brutal.
Rather you than me, man. Today we're going to be talking about Civilization VII. What do you think of it? What were your first impressions? Let's just jump straight in. What were your first impressions of the game?
So, first impression was the first thing I noticed when I started playing it. Like, I'm trying to pick my leader, and I remember thinking, first of all, I didn't notice anything all that different about any of the leaders. I felt like in the old games, the leaders were, they really stood out, and they were really unique. And in this year's game, everybody has a unique unit and buildings and stuff, but because everybody does, it's almost like nobody does, if that makes sense. And so it's almost like they're all equal, and it felt almost like fluff. So for the first time ever in the entire time I've been playing Civilization, I just hit random because I didn't even care what leader I got, which was so odd for me.
Isn't it best if they're all fairly even, just for like in terms of making sure that the game is balanced?
Maybe that's what they were thinking. Yeah, but it made me not care.
Right. Okay. So there was nothing about each particular leader that, or a particular leader that you thought that resonates with my playstyle, my personality. It's fairly generic.
The only thing I ended up doing was I ended up saying, okay, I feel like this one is probably slightly more science based than the rest, I'll do this one. But I didn't, so I don't think it made a big difference. Yeah, we're off to a shining start here.
Civ 7 is awesome. Okay. So other than the bland generic leaders, was there anything that stood out about the game right away for you?
Well, I think the big thing that veterans will notice is they've changed completely how the faction system works, or the nation system works. And so now you have your leader, but leaders aren't tied to one nation. They can be with anyone. And so that is totally unique. And this is going to sound, here I am again, but I didn't really love that. I think I like the leaders being with one nation. I don't think I like them being interchangeable like that. Maybe I'll get used to it. Maybe I'm being a fuddy-duddy, but right now, I feel like I didn't necessarily love that. And then you also, every time you age up, you pick a new nation, which also, I remember being excited about that in previous games that have done it, but it's never quite stuck with me. So I didn't necessarily love that big change either.
Well, let's go back to this leader situation. So I could have Frederick of the Germans as the leader of Great Britain.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that happens at the start of the game. You choose your leader. You choose your Is there any, because it was always a situation where the leaders had the pros and the cons. They had the unique units and things like that. Do you also get unique units or features from the civilizations which your leaders can be a part of? So could you combine a great leader with a great nation, even if they were completely disparate, and have a like the ultimate start?
No, you can't really do that, because what ends up being is the one that gives you bonuses to, that gives you the unique troops and the unique buildings is the civilization. And the leader is the one that gives you plus culture, or you get science from mountains now, or you can now, you now don't lose your bonuses when you put a city on a river or something like that, right? Like the leaders have all of those bonuses, mm-hmm. but the civilization is the one that gives you your units and buildings, which there, that is one plus to the way they're doing the ages system. Is it yeah. used to be, you know, Civ 6, whichever one had Gilgamesh, Gilgabro. Gilgabro was great at the beginning, but those war carts don't last forever, right? Well, in the new system, mm-hmm. as soon as your war carts no longer work, you're picking a new civilization, and they probably have a unique unit for Age of Exploration and whatnot. So you're getting new unique units and buildings probably throughout the game. But so that is a plus. I don't know how many people enjoy it enough.
Is it though?
Yeah, exactly.
But is it though? Because it's, and I was going to mention this ages system. So I guess this is a nice segue into mm-hmm. what I was going to ask next, because this is a system which, you know, Firaxis have just lifted this directly from humankind,
yeah.
which was touted as the Civ killer when it was, I mean, it's what, 4 or 5 years
probably,
old
or yeah, it's like pretty
that.
Old.
And it came out with this ages system. And they've done almost like a, from what I understand, they've done almost just like a straight lift of this mechanic.
It's close. There's some differences in what qualifies you. In humankind, wasn't it so you'd qualify for the next age, and it was almost like a race to get to the next good civ or something like mm-hmm. that, right?
Yeah.
And in this, everybody transfers ages at the same time. And you have to have done a certain thing in order to qualify for a certain group. Like, I was able to be Incas, I think, once because I'd settled two cities right. next to mountains or something.
And is that because there's like a tiered list of the civilizations, or is it just a case of because you, as you say, you settled cities next to mountains, you get they give the option, well, you can actually now have this civilization which is going to benefit from those particular features that you've managed to establish in the first age.
So it's kind of both. From what I understand, if you pick a certain civilization, that civilization can only move into certain other civilizations later, unless you do certain things that unlock other ones, right?
Right.
So,
because I think that was one thing you'd expect the Incas to be able to move in to become Mexico.
Yes,
or,
exactly.
Or the Native Americans to become the United States or mm-hmm. something along those lines. You'd anticipate you'd be able to do those. But for you to, say, go from you were the Aztecs and now you're the Koreans, it'd be like, well,
yeah, exactly.
That's a bit of a bit of a switch. So you'd have to achieve certain conditions in the first age to be able to switch in such a manner. Otherwise, you're quite limited in terms of...
You can be, yeah.
Who you could progress to. Mm-hmm. Right, okay. Well, but does it... Because all of the comments I've seen, and I was this close to buying Civ 7, but it's still showing as mixed on Steam. Yeah. The reviews are still saying it's bad. And it really put me off. I mean, I'm poor. I can't afford to just
throw
£60 down on a game which is going to be broken at the start.
Look, I'm going to spill some tea here, but I was mad because I was like, we're all going to get it, and I'm the only one that got it, and this game sucks. Paid $25 extra to get early access, and then 25 double cheeseburgers or something. Not quite that much double cheeseburgers,
yeah,
but
man. No.
And then it, I wasn't really mad, but I was like, yeah, and it's not even good. I want to play Marvel Rivals instead. And, and yeah. I did, I played it for 3 hours and moved back to Marvel Rivals. But
yeah, it was a free game. I looked at the reviews and I was like, this looks like it is. And a lot of the comments, and I think we talked about this when we did our episode with Tim, when we did our episode on the Civilization backstory, the history of the franchise. The comments were, this is a pre-alpha, or this is an alpha. It's not even early access. And yet they've released it as a full price AAA game. How dare they? You know?
Yes.
Are they taken as, you know?
Yeah.
Do they take us for idiots? But then Civilization has always sold on its name. It's always, there's always been a certain quality, which is associated with the name Civilization. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm sure tens of thousands probably pre-ordered it, or, you know, paid over the odds in double cheeseburgers to get access to it early. And
do you remember when Total Warhammer came out with the third one and they had all that DLC controversy and they spent all that time trying to earn back goodwill? I feel like Civilization might have to do the same thing. I don't know what their plan was for DLC. We're probably going to talk about that more later. But I really think they're going to have to consider giving some of those premium DLCs they were going to release for free. Or people are just going to ignore them. I'm not doing anything. I'm not giving them any more money.
I think it was the Total War Egypt, wasn't it? It was the ancient Egypt Total War where they made a complete hash of it. It was released broken. It was released substandard. Yeah. And then they redid the entire thing. And it actually became quite an acceptable game once they said, you know what, we fucked up. Let's fix this. And maybe they'll do the same. Maybe they'll do the same.
They might be looking at the same thing because it's, I don't see this right now as an anything killer. This is a Civ 7 killer right now, this game. It's not.
So Civ 7 is a Civ 7 killer.
Yeah. It's, okay. We're going to get more into it. Right. You keep going here. Sorry. I know. Right. Hopefully people aren't turning it off. Like, right. Okay, it sucks. We're done.
Well, Civ 7 sucks, but we don't. We're awesome.
That's right.
All right. Let's talk about the AI. And this has always been a tricky one because these games rely heavily on the AI. And in a game like this, which has multiple facets and multiple victory conditions, it's not just a case of, are they good at fighting wars? Diplomacy has always been an issue when it comes to these games. And I think that sometimes in past Civilization games, you can look at the diplomacy, think, why has the computer done that? Or there's no logic behind what they've done. What's been your experience of the AI in the game?
Okay, so I don't want to go so far as to say the AI is broken. Some people probably will, but I will say it feels like certain AIs are supposed to act a certain way, and that's just the way they act no matter what you're going to do, right? And the beginning is very much, more than any other Civ game I've played, the beginning feels like such a land grab. The AI is out there trying to put out as many towns as they can. I felt pressured to do it, and I've never been that type of player, but the beginning feels, I've never seen so much clutter on my game screen at the beginning, and that's what the AI is doing, is they're just putting out a ton of cities, and if you're on the standard map, which I think is the biggest you can do without mods, you're going to end up with five or six people you're fighting, and three of them are probably going to hate you, or two of them, and one of them, if you play your cards right, is going to be your best friend. And that's just the way it's going to be. And depending on who you are and who they are, that's probably going to be the thing that decides it. Like, I every time I played, I had a Civ that hated me, and I had no idea why, other than the fact that we did cities next to each other. But everybody's doing that because the whole thing is a land grab. There's settlers are so cheap now.
Almost like border friction.
I mean, I guess that makes sense, but it feels like that's what the whole beginning is about, is tech up as fast as you can, And maybe I'm playing it wrong. I remember thinking, there's a chance that I'm supposed to kill all these people. Maybe that's what I'm supposed to be doing. Am I supposed to, is this supposed to be a battle royal and I'm supposed to clean out this whole little continent and then I meet everybody else later? I don't, that's not what I ended up doing in the game that I played the longest. I don't know what turn it was on, because I feel like the game's really long now. It's longer than it was. I made the mistake of starting one on Epic, and I think I was 200 turns in, and I was still in the first age. It was crazy. Somebody started massing troops on my border, and we were friends, and then he's just attacking me. And I killed him, but everybody else I left alone. But at the end, I was like, maybe I should have been killing all these people. Maybe that's the point. Maybe I'm playing this wrong. But it feels like the AI is only fine. It's certainly not challenging. If it is challenging later, it's probably challenging from bonuses and extra units and whatnot, not from clever play, really.
Yeah, and I think that's something we've discussed in a previous episode, is that you want harder AIs to be smarter, not just... And I think one of our favorite games, Stellaris, does it really badly. It's a case of they just give the AI bonuses. You know, if you play on captain, commander, or whatever, up to admiral, all they do is they just double the bonuses that they get,
and they penalize you eventually, right?
Yeah. And I think when you said it's lazy game design. Mm-hmm. It's lazy game design. You know, I mean, I'm no expert on when it comes to
certainly not no.
coding an AI, so I don't know whether it can be done differently, but. Seems like it's...
We know it's it can poor. Be done differently simple, in Stellaris. We know it can, Al, because I don't know how you were... We did the mod talk and you blanked me out. Ooh, I don't want to fight about that again. But
have you forgiven me for that?
There is a mod called StarNet AI turned the AI good. It made the AI much better.
Yep.
And I don't know... I don't
there was
think
a couple,
it did
there was
it
StarNet,
bonuses,
there was another one as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
I can't remember what the other one was called, but there is a couple of them.
I think it can be done. I wish we didn't have to have modders to do that in some of our games, but I think it can be improved. Now, Civ 7, I don't know how mod-friendly it is. There's some mods out there, but they certainly... I don't think they've released a ton of tools and whatnot. I think it's just modders being talented and driven.
I think one of the things that really pisses me off about the AI in games. I know we're going off on a tangent a little bit here, so sorry. But it's when they say, you choose the next level up difficulty-wise, and all it does is just makes people more aggressive.
Yeah.
I don't want them to be more aggressive. I want them to be smarter.
I want them to build good cities.
I want them to, build good cities and form good alliances and dominate me, not in a sexual way, dominate me economically.
Yeah,
you know,
certainly,
or through diplomatic agreements with my rivals.
Team up on me,
than just you've gangbanged me.
Yes,
there's that. I apologize for all of the innuendo. So the AI is it better than previous games? Is it worse than previous games?
I think it's the same, possibly worse, but it's the same. I might just dislike some changes they made that made everything, like, again, the land grab thing. I don't think that's AI. Mm. I think it's just changes they made to the game. They've made it so settlers cost barely more than warriors. And so it's not a sacrifice at all, really, to just pump out some settlers. And so you end up cities everywhere.
Hmm. Okay.
And I'm an American. I like things spread out.
Of course.
Urban sprawl.
Right, let's move on. So of all of the, if there are very many new features or mechanics, what's the most interesting thing that you saw in the game? You thought, that actually works.
Now, you said two different things, interesting and works. Okay. I will say the most interesting is how they've done the age system. I don't know what they need to do to fix it. I'm not a game designer. I think it's off, but I think it could be okay. I do know some things that we could fix, actually. So when you age up and you go to the next age, a bunch of things happen. You pick a new civilization, your unique troops, they don't stay whatever they were. they turn into generic whatever. Like, if you, let's say you had a unique footman type person, when you age up, it's just going to become a swordsman. And wherever they were,
right,
like, let's say you were about to raise the last city of your eternal enemy, and then the age turns, you don't, you can't stop it. If the age up happens, it happens. And you will, all of your troops will either disappear or get moved back to your cities. And it just, like, right, clears the whole board and starts everybody almost, like, back at zero. You, like, start back at zero in a new age, and you get some bonuses. And that's very interesting, and I think it could be good, but they've just, it just isn't working quite how it is. It
sounds terrible.
Yeah, it doesn't work it how it is.
Terrible. So does that back to zero also apply to your to diplomacy? So, you know, you said this is your eternal enemy. Are your relationships reset?
I think
with your enemies. Yeah,
I didn't notice
because, I mean, throughout human history, we carry these animosities.
But I think
throughout the ages.
So my eternal enemy is no longer Greece. They became Turkey or something, or some, probably they probably became Hawaii, right, the way this game's built, you know. They went to become something completely not related to them at all. Or maybe they're Korea so now.
It almost feels quite disjointed, really,
because
you're losing any kind of semblance of narrative or role play that you have. And that's always been the beauty of civilization, is that I can take my particular faction from one village all the way through to the space age and chart the history of my civilization.
Now, and, you know, that's why people say it feels like a pre-alpha, because they probably think, if you would have tested this, this would have been caught. They would have caught how disjointed it feels when you change ages, and you would have done something to smooth this out. Because I don't... I'm almost talking myself into thinking this game's not a lost cause, because in my head I'm like, you can fix this. You can fix these changes.
Please, Firaxis. Please fix it.
Maybe the new civilizations at different ages, maybe that works. We just need to fix it. It needs to make more sense. It needs to be more clear. Change the order.
There should be a clear path.
Yeah, so I agree with what you're saying.
The Aztecs become Mexico or whatever that might be. To go from the Incas or whoever that may be in the classic age to become Great Britain in the modern age.
Yeah.
That's just
something like,
it feels disjointed, it feels janky, it feels like a gimmick.
Yeah, Yucatan, it feels like Maya, Mexico, something like that. Uh-huh. Yeah. Makes total sense.
Yeah.
But that's like, that's
how on earth have they, and it'd be interesting to find out why.
Instead, it's going to be Inca, Nubia, Germany. You're just like, okay.
How on earth has that happened?
This is who I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you think about it, the way they want to do the age system, they can't do it the way we want, because there's just not enough civilization connections that would make sense. There's only so many ways you can age up Greeks.
Yeah.
It went Greece to Greece to Greece.
And if that's the case,
Greece to Greece to Turkey or
something. Then that's the case. You know, that's if you have Egypt to Egypt to Egypt, you know, it's always going to be the same. But if you have a situation where,
now we're going back to the old system. Which many would like, probably, but
yeah, and it seems to me that maybe this is a change that's been made for change's sake. We must think of something new that we can put into Civilization 7 to differentiate it from Civilization 6. What are we going to do? Well, I know Humankind did this thing where they said ages, and okay, let's try that. Without stopping to say, why are we doing this? They just said, well, we need something
popular.
We need something new. What can we use? We're not particularly clever or innovative, so let's just steal from somebody else, stick it into our game, and hope people don't notice that.
We laid off the innovative people, Al.
Let's just hope people don't notice that it's broken. But unfortunately, people are noticing because gamers are savvy, intelligent. Certain gamers are savvy and intelligent. Nuno's not included in that particular list. And they were like,
same.
What are you trying to push on us here, man? You know, this is janky broken system.
I think if Tim were here, he would be distraught at what he's hearing. He would be just so embarrassed for the Civ developers for what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what else? Okay. Are you going to ask anything about the UI, or should I save it?
Go on, because I was, because okay. there's been some comments around the UI is very cluttered, and we've become very used to very user-friendly user interfaces, and everything that I've read about this is that it's poor.
Okay, so they made some changes to what happens. Workers are gone. There are no more workers. When you build a city, you start at where you build it, and then you get to choose every time your city grows, you get to choose what tile you grow into, right? And when you grow into a tile, the worker happens automatically. So if you grow into a tile where there would be a farm, the farm is built automatically, which I had no problem with that, actually. That seemed totally reasonable. However, they give you no information when you do it.
Right.
There is no, you build here, a farm comes, the farm gives you +2. It just says a farm's coming.
Right.
Doesn't say what's going to happen there. Doesn't say what you're going to get for that. It gives you almost like it felt like an estimation to me what you were going to get.
Uh-huh.
I felt like the information was totally lacking in this game to the point where I've been playing Civilization for a long time, and I've played enough hours that I don't want to say it on the pod. I don't want to say it out in public how many hours I've spent on this game. I didn't know what to do. You know what I mean? And I played the crap out of these games, and I don't know exactly where the best place to be is. I should know, or I should be able to figure it out from the explanation.
You should be able to tell. It should be intuitive.
And you can't.
So, because it was always a situation on the previous Civilization games where each hex had the bonus. You know, you could hover over the hex, and it would tell you what the bonuses were for that particular hex, and therefore you knew if I built a farm there, it's going to give me +2 food. Because that farm is on floodplain or fertile land or whatever, it's going to give me +2 or +3. So you knew to build the farm there, and you knew what you were going to get. So that's gone.
And I feel like it's the least clear in this game. And in fact, so one of the civilizations that you can start with, Spain, which is kind of counterintuitive, that'd be one of the first ones you can start with. Or it's a Spain leader, but they get a bonus to wonders, to natural wonders, so much so that you're probably going to spawn next to a natural wonder. I spawned, and I'm looking, and I remember thinking, like, okay, I know what I'm getting from this natural wonder, but kind of not.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of not even clear what this natural wonder is doing for me.
So there's no tool.
And then I built on it. There is, but it doesn't give that much information.
Right.
The information is totally lacking, in my opinion, in the UI. And that is something that I think they can fix. I don't know. I'm not a developer.
It's just a text file,
but if they can fix
it,
they need to do it. They need to do it now.
Tooltips are just text files. So, you know, and that's probably the kind of thing that a modder will fix as well before Firaxis actually get their asses around to fixing it, because it's a very, very easy thing to do. You just hack,
I think they're working on it.
Go into the files and edit the tooltip text file to say, well, this is what you get from this particular wonder.
I know I have a relative who's trying to play it, and her and a friend started to play it, and they couldn't figure out what to do. Mm. And they're not idiots.
And that shouldn't happen.
They couldn't figure out what to do. Yeah.
With a game of this renown, with a series of this renown.
And price point.
Yeah, well, yeah, let's not to forget about the price
point. You
know,
this game tried to reset the market on game prices before Grand Theft Auto, whatever Grand Theft Auto is coming next.
6.
They tried to reset it before that. 6, yeah. So they did it early and, you know, totally blew it, in my mind.
Okay. Nice broad general question. What's missing from the game? What do you think really should have been there? And I don't mean tooltips. What really should have been there that isn't there?
Well, for sure that. More information. It should be more clear what your decisions mean, if that makes sense. That's missing for sure. I think the combat is a little poor. Now we've got games like Age of Wonders. Age of Wonders does combat well, and Civ 7 does not. It does not. Age of Wonders 4, there's real combat. There's real things like flanking and whatnot from the start. And I feel like that's just not there in Civ 7. And it is frustrating, and it's missing from that. So the combat to me is boring.
Uh-huh.
I feel like the units are, even though there's a lot of unique units, I feel like all of them felt really samey to me. And so I think, I don't know how they can fix that now, but I think they really have to do well on their free DLCs. If they try charging me for it, I swear to goodness, on their free DLCs, they really got to blow it out of the water on their designs. They got to really do a good job. And then they have to work on the connectivity. Don't move our troops. If Carthage is at the gates of Rome and the age changes, all those troops aren't going home.
No.
They're gonna destroy Rome, that city.
Rome.
They're sacking Rome. They're not all going home.
Rome's getting
it's
screwed,
ridiculous.
Man. You know, they're not saying, "Oh well, oh
yeah."
Arbitrary movement of the calendar. Let's just disappear and you know, reset everything.
Imagine in a multiplayer game, you're about to kill somebody, and the age goes, and they're saved by the bell, and they get to restart from everything, and you've got to go all the way across the map, because that's another thing. I feel like moving across the map is really slow. It's really slow in this game.
Maximum
so,
frustration. Let's expand on this, where we said about what's missing, and you mentioned about DLCs.
Okay.
There's been some comments about there's some clearly obvious civilizations which have been left out of the initial lineup. Is that clear that, you know, there's, you, well, hang on, they should be here and they're not? Are they being held back for DLCs? Are we going to see a drip feed of this is your next civilization pack with three new civs and three new leaders?
Didn't they do that in 6 where they did, you could sign up for a subscription and you got a leader every so often?
Right.
I didn't sign up, but I feel like they did that. And I'm sure that's where they're going, is there. These first ones are kind of bad, and the cool ones are going to be the future. I mean, going back to something like Total War, everyone knows the best faction is always the most recent faction. So they're probably going to do the same thing with this. They have to be. I hope they're holding something back. I hope this isn't it.
And therein lies the, excuse the pun, the paradox here, because you hope they're holding something back, but at the same time, you're thinking, why have you held back? You're charging.
Exactly.
You're charging us. I mean, it's.
Why have you charged
it's
so much?
£60, so that's about $30,000 for this game. You're charging us through the nose for a AAA plus title, and then you're
resetting the market,
and you're then giving us something which is substandard, which is not feature rich. I don't want to pay £60 for this game and then have to, in 3 months' time, pay another £10 for three factions that really should have been included in the start. What kind of,
and maybe don't even change the game. The game's still not fixed. You have to think about that. What if what they're doing next is building more DLCs, and they're not going to fix all these issues I laid out? Maybe I'm the only one that feels this way. I doubt it.
No, you're not, because you're certainly not the most cynical person here. And if you're feeling that, then I'm feeling that, and I'm sure.
Yeah, I like everything. Remember,
well, this is it. You know, everything's sunshine and roses in the United States of America, isn't it? So, you know, it's everything's wonderful. Everything is awesome. So, you know, if you're feeling that, I'm feeling that, and I've not even played the bloody game, so. Others who have played must be thinking, what is going on with this absolute trash title?
Yeah, this train wreck.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, is this Firaxis? Because game development is very expensive. It must be millions that it's cost them to make this game. It's very expensive, and they are beholden to investors, to the bottom line. They want a return on their investment, which is absolutely fine. I've got no issues with that. You know,
Certainly.
I'm no communist, right? We have a free market society. People can decide whether to buy a game or not, and they want to profit from their work. Not a problem. But is this a move towards a Paradox-style system where they keep the game? If you look at, I know we mention Stellaris all the time, sorry. But you look at Stellaris, what, 20 plus?
There's no 2 on the horizon.
Know? No. And 20.
They're going to keep with the DLCs.
20 plus DLCs, species packs, story packs, major expansions. There's almost a major expansion every year or whatever. Are Firaxis looking at Paradox and saying, well, this is the way that you have to be financially successful? Are they going to adopt the same strategy?
I would say yes, but one thing, I feel it's a history game at its core. Mm. I feel like there's only so much you can do. There's only so much history you can pull from.
I suppose so.
Maybe I'm being right? Like, they don't have endless leaders or civilizations that people are going to accept. Maybe they do. Maybe I'm being small-minded here, but I just don't see Stellaris is working with the whole galaxy.
Yeah.
It can pull from anything. Civ, unless Civ is going to start saying, okay, our $50 expansion is some riff on Beyond Earth, and they're going to keep going from there.
It's never going to happen.
That didn't work last time.
It's never going to happen. Civilization is terrestrial, and it would break it if they try to take it beyond. So, all right, let's wrap this up. If you had to sum it up, how excited should Civilization fans be, like me, to play Civilization 7?
I would say excited enough to wait 3 months.
Okay, that's fine. And finally, or maybe not finally, give this a rating out of 10 Big Macs. How many Big Macs?
Big Macs. Okay, so let's quantify just so it's clear. One of my favorite games I've played recently. Gosh, I haven't played too many games I liked recently, but I really like Total Warhammer 3, right? Total Warhammer 3, we'll say that's an 8. Mm-hmm. 8 Big Macs. I would say this is, gosh, I almost don't want to say it.
Say it.
This is like 3.5.
3.5.
Maybe? 3.5, yeah.
If it was 3.5, are we splitting the Big Mac vertically down the middle, or are we just taking the bottom bit? And if we're taking the bottom bit, does it include the middle bun or not?
You know what it is? It's all bun and sauces, no meat. The last one has no meat.
All right.
It's totally unsatisfying.
So, in a word, is this the best Civilization yet?
Absolutely not. I almost want to say it's not possible for it to become the best one yet.
Okay.
Maybe. If they put an insane amount of work into it, it's possible it could become the best one, but I just don't know. 6 was really good. And you know, when 6 came out, I quit playing that one and went back to 5 because I was like, 5's good. Why is 6 terrible? But now I didn't even know what terrible was then.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now I know. Now I've learned.
So thank you very much.
Yeah.
There you have it, folks. 3.5
there you
Big
have
Macs
it.
Out of 10 is the official...
3, 4, 1, no meat.
Is the official Critical Moves podcast rating for Civilization 7. Do you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Do you disagree? Do you think that Joe is...
Please tell
is
us.
...absolutely right in what he says, that Civilization is just absolute trash? Or do you think it is a legendary game and we've got it completely wrong?
Yeah, please let me know if I missed something. Tell us in the comments. Hey, I'll go back and play it again, but you better be right.
Come and tell us. Come to criticalmovespodcast.com, which is our awesome website, where you'll find all of our links to all of our social media channels, our Discord. We would love to hear from you. And if you have enjoyed our episode, please share this with somebody else who you think will enjoy it, especially if they are a massive, massive Civilization 7 fan, because we would love to piss them off with Joe's awesome rip of the game. Thanks for listening.
We can still be friends.
We'll always be friends. Thanks for listening. It's been great having you with us, Joe. Thanks. Take it easy. Bye-bye.